Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Databank Brawl, the podcast where we learn about Star Wars characters, discuss our feelings about those characters, and then those characters fight for our amusement and yours. I'm your host. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. With me, as always, is Ken Knapsack.
So happy to be here. Last time out, we had one of the all-time best ones. Wicket and an interrogation droid, and it went to places I just don't think we expected.
It was great.
I love it.
It was great. There's a lot of hallucinating, which that is just always great. Anytime you have a fight with some hallucinogens, what a great Star Wars podcast. Yeah. An unexpected Star Wars podcast. Anyway, before we get into all the brawling, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And many of those 180,000 titles are Star Wars related. We are recommending this week Dark Disciple because it is spooky Halloween times, and I think that book has got some great spooky stuff in it. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center for your free audiobook. All right. Mm-hmm. It is Halloween time. In fact, as this episode is dropping, it is actual Halloween on the day of its release.
I don't know what that is. I'm starting to get my voices going.
That was like a ghost who is ready to go to a rave. I feel like, ooh, let's go. So we've had some fun Halloween spooky characters, a lot of spooky scenes, spooky characters in previous episodes of Databank Brawl. So I wanted to do that again. So I came up with some a little bit outside of the box kind of suggestions or combatants. So are you ready for your first combatant?
I am, sir.
Our first combatant is a Night Sister.
Ooh.
So we'll get to determine a little bit about that. But here's what the databank has to say. The Night Sisters are a coven of witches that lived on the mysterious world of Dathomir. The sisters ruled unchallenged, gifted with the power to wield dark magics. The men of Dathomir, the Night Brothers, lived apart from the witches but were subservient to their whims. Despite their power, the Night Sisters avoided the conflict of the Republic and Sith, content to pursue their own matters. The Jedi gave them a wide berth, for they remained focused on matters on Dathomir. Count Dooku has had dealings with them in the past and turned to them when he was in need of a new apprentice. Their betrayal of Dooku earned the Night Sisters a powerful enemy, and he ordered a massive attack by his droid forces in retribution. So that's the actual data bank entry. I'm sure you got somewhere in the wilds of Wikipedia.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm getting through. They have a lot of legends, and then I'm in the canon section of Wikipedia, and there's the canonicity of this article is disputed.
Oh, really?
So,
ooh,
you know,
dark magics are at work on Wikipedia.
Absolutely. So I'm trying to get the stats and stories there because we're going general. We obviously don't have an individual stat there. So to go through some stuff you may have mentioned here. Title of their leader is Mother. We know Mother Talzin. Strength, yeah. Army of the Dead. Knight Brothers, Headquarters. Night Sister Lair, which is his haunted hut. They have some of their beliefs and relics and artifacts include Water of Life, Waters of Change, the Waters of Truth.
Ooh.
Planet of Origin, as you said, Dathomir, Date of Collapse. That's an interesting one. Final Years of the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
About 2 years. Why does it say 2 years before the Battle of Yavin?
Yeah, because that would be wrong.
That would be
The
canonicity of this is disputed. Notable members, Daka, Jersera, Karis, Luce, Naleth, Shalice, Talia, Talia's twin, that's the name, Talzin, is it? Anasaj Ventress's actual mother is in there. So that's a lot there.
Yeah.
A lot there.
All right. Yeah, so I think just in terms of a canon review, they feature a ton in Clone Wars.
Yes.
Right? Many adventures, including the whole Savage Opress origins, the going to get a candidate from the Knight Brothers, and then eventually the attack by Dooku, as described in the databank a little bit, that wipes them out. We see them again in Rebels, right, where some ghosts are...
Yeah.
Loosed, we learn in that battle back in the Clone Wars with Dooku that they sort of mummify and preserve an army of dead Night Sisters. So that's fun and spooky. Everything they do is spooky. They are the definition of spooky in a great, great way.
Yeah.
So are you? I see you're still scrolling. Are you finding anything that's grabbing you?
It's always like you start clicking on things and you know things you either learn or. There's apparently a Jedi Inquisitor that's a Night Sister that's probably Jerissa.
Oh, wow.
Jersera, excuse me. Jerissa's not the twin.
Is that from the comics?
Ghosts of Dathomir, and that's where I was kind of linking, which is Star Wars Force and Destiny.
Not Forces of Destiny.
Yeah, is an adventure book for Fantasy Flight Games released on October
19, 2017. Oh, okay. All right, then.
So there's a lot there. Also, I didn't really know this. I don't know the exact details of it, but it says the Night Sisters. Now we're just some behind-the-scenes stuff. Night Sisters originally created... where did it go? Wikipedia, you and your... Night Sisters were created by Dave Wolverton and first appeared in his Star Wars Legends 1994 novel, The Courtship of Princess Leia. One of the novels that caused me to not read Legends anymore. Nothing against Dave. I just was like, this is going places. So, Dave says he wanted to create powerful female figures in Star Wars universe that had been dominated by men at the time, and expressed delight that the concept was picked up by George Lucas for his backstory of Darth Maul.
Nice.
Interesting stuff there. Okay.
Yeah, and there's a whole twisty thing of how they end up with Mother Talzin. And,
yeah.
And I think this was a Pablo Hidalgo Twitter thread. several months ago of the complex origins of the Night Sisters.
Right.
Yeah. But now, perhaps Wikipedia can help me with this canonical issue. Mm-hmm. They are sort of force sensitive, but they are doing things through magic. And like, it's Asajj is different in that she is just a full force wielder herself, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's right. Again, this might repeat some of the things you just read. Witches of Dathomir were a clan and order of magic wielding females living in Dathomir. So they were a planet. The planet was bathed in dark energies. Well, we're really in Halloween here. The dark side users able to perform their arcane magics with a K by tapping into the magical Ichor. I don't know how
you Ichor, I think.
Ichor.
Yeah.
I don't know, high fantasy or low fantasy.
This is Lovecraft fantasy.
Lovecraft fantasy that flowed from the depths of their planet. So, yeah, you're correct. It does not seem like it was necessarily just the Force.
Right. So it's not like a standard Night Sister would be like, hey, I'm on Ryloth and I'm throwing rocks. You go to Dathomir and it's like, hey, it's cute that other people have a haunted house. Yeah. This is our haunted half a planet.
Right. Oh, so the 2 years before the Battle of Yavin.
Oh, yeah. What's that
about? We
totally
forgot. Two spirits of the Night Sisters were summoned by Maul and Ezra Bridger in Rebels.
Oh, I didn't realize that was canonically being considered their final defeat.
Yeah, I mean, that I would debate that too. But,
yeah.
But the Galactic Civil War, Selish is the sole known survivor of the Night Sisters. I don't know.
Interesting.
Star Wars Uprising, probably some sort of mobile game that I didn't play. Yes, it was.
Okay.
Play those mobile games, kids. A lot of the answers are in them.
The cannons buried everywhere like a hidden treasure. All right, so.
That's a lot. I apologize.
No, it's good.
There's a lot of
it's
weird
good.
Things to click and link to.
That's why we do this podcast, is partially to dive deep into some of these specific characters. So how do you feel about them, Night Sisters?
I'm in a very positive place about these dark witches. We always talk a lot on all of our shows here of, hey, the idea, you might not like the idea. It's all about how they execute it in the storytelling. I would not have liked if you just sat down, and I did read The Courtship of Princess Leia, and I don't remember that, to be fair. But if you sat me down and said, there's going to be some witches in Star Wars, I would have been like, no thanks, I'm good.
Yeah.
I love a lot about it. I love the character of Asajj Ventress. I love when she goes home and finds comfort in Mother Talzin's arms. I want Leta Hedy, Cersei Lannister, Game of Thrones, to play Mother Talzin in some live-action version.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all in on this idea. I do really like them. They have the weird place in Star Wars, and it works.
Yeah, yeah. I am all in on Night Sisters, and I think, I don't know if there's ever a time where I would have said no thanks to weird magic witches in Star Wars. Because I think, again, this is our week for just repeating it's all about execution.
Yeah.
But this is one of the things I really like about Star Wars is that George Lucas was a fan of many genres. Mm-hmm. A couple of genres really popped in the original A New Hope, Western and sci-fi and all that. But I love it, especially in the Clone Wars, to start pulling in more of his influence from noir and more of his influence from just kind of straight horror. All that stuff was a part of the different comic books and adventure serials and all that. So I love things that really dive. Here's a little corner of the Star Wars galaxy that can dive deep into this, early to mid 20th century storytelling idea. Not
like
that witches are a little older than that, but that sort of pulpy idea.
Yeah, I get it.
What they are. Yeah, so I really love that. And then it's just in terms of, Lucas talks about being interested in sociology. I always think of a clip on Revenge of the Sith DVD where he's talking about, like, I really want to know how the Oota Pounds get by living in that sinkhole.
Yeah.
What does it do to a culture to live in a sinkhole? Okay, I guess it makes you whisper. I don't know. But this is a culture where you could be like, all right, they are dominant to the non-magical men that they don't fraternize with unless they want something from them. And it's clearly a loving society within being dark witches.
Yeah.
But also that, like, the Jedi don't bother them because they're just concerned with stuff on Dathomir. What are they doing?
I love that idea because, all right, on the surface, it's like, Jedi aren't concerned, but look what they're doing.
Yeah.
You're not concerned about something there? I don't know. Yeah, I like that.
I mean, that's a great point to discuss in future conversations about balance. We're like, hey, they're just digging up ichor and making horrible talismans and fluids and concoctions, but they're just keeping them there. They sell them to somebody every once in a while if they visit, I guess. I'm sure Doc Ondor has some weird Night Sister potion somewhere, but they're not out there taking over the galaxy. So the Jedi are like, cool, there's some dark side. That's balanced. That's natural.
You do you.
Yeah.
We're fine. Occasionally transform one of the male creatures on the planet into a marauding, killing machine of a man.
A hulking beast.
Yeah,
we might want to talk to you about your names. They're a little on the nose, but besides that, we're cool. So, yeah, I love the Night Sisters. Any other thoughts?
No, it's going to be interesting, and it's spooky indeed.
Yeah, yeah. So let's go on to our next combatant, another spooky-sounding creature. The Night Sister will face a Night Watcher worm.
Oh, wow, you're...
I'm going all night. All right, night. Here is what the databank has to say. Night Watcher worms are one of Jakku's more mysterious life forms. These creatures, also known as sand borers and Arkonnen night terrors, are rarely seen. Only a blinking pair of red eyes betrays their location beneath the sands. Night Watchers top 20 meters in length when mature, and some specimens are reputed to be much larger. Scavenger lore has it that Night Watchers hunt by sensing vibrations above them, erupting from beneath the sand with their jaws wide to engulf prey. Night Watcher worm.
This is great. This is really great.
What do you got for...
I was trying to find quickly some of the stuff there. Let's go to the stats. 20 meters in length, the average length. Skin color, gray, brown, and red. Eye color, red. Homeworld Jakku, habitat, sand. Diet, junk eater.
Right.
I love that classification as worm. So they look like a dinosaur whale with the little tiny head that pops up. And of course, you've all seen them. If you're like, what are the Ken and Joseph talking about? You saw them in Force Awakens.
You saw just those glowing red eyes in that head.
Eyes, yes. But
you didn't see the depths below the sand.
That little alien neck and face that pops up and looks at a BB-8. When BB-8's rolling away from the Tuanol village. That is a Night Watcher worm, and you see it a lot more in Forces of Destiny. It's the first time I was really exposed to the whole picture. A couple episodes, come to the early episodes, Rey has an encounter, has two encounters with him, and that's where you see the whole thing.
And Rey ends up trying to feed this Night Watcher worm other garbage so it does not eat BB-8, right?
Yes. It's a lesson learned.
Yeah. Oh, there's a big picture. If you're listening in a place, you can pull up a picture. Go ahead and pull yourself up a picture.
Yeah.
Because, that's a big, chunky, wet, bulbous thing. It's mostly jaw.
It's a big old hungry mouth.
Are those tentacles or multiple little blue tongues?
Yeah. Ooh.
What a great question to ask yourself on Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Little tentacle tongues?
Yeah, little tentacle tongues. And then, do you think their backsides are hard? Ken, do you think Night Watcher worms' backside is hard?
I'm looking at this picture here. No, it's like a little tail, like a little shrimpy tail. Like they got like little lobster feet coming out the back or something.
But like are they shelled? That big thing on top of their back, is that a shell?
Oh, yeah. I was looking at the end.
You're looking at the true ass of the Night Watcher worm.
Yes, I take that as a hard shell.
Okay, a hard shell. All right. Yeah. All right. So that's their main canon appearances. I love that moment in Force Awakens. I remember in the theater seeing it the first time just like total Star Wars. It's just like a little creature watching. It's not even a plot point. It's just remember, the galaxy is full of weird creatures.
Yeah.
You know, aliens from 1,000 planets. And then getting to see them a little bit more in Forces of Destiny was really, really cool. And see that there's...
Absolutely.
It's like actual Star Wars storytelling. Just the head in the movies. But then in the supporting material, you got a big old jaw.
Yeah.
Shitting his body.
So what I was trying to discover is when it was decided that it was the size that it is.
Yeah.
I can't, without boring us just kind of reading a bunch of stuff, I can't really say. The worm was not named in the film itself, but received identification in the reference books, Star Wars Force Awakens Visual Dictionary and Rey's Survival Guide, which is by Jason Fry, which came out early. Other worms... Although only Worm's eyes appeared in the film, their full appearance was revealed when one starred as a major character in the anime shorts, Sands of Jakku. So that's where, yeah. One of those, that's one of the things. But Scanlan has a longer quote. Neil Scanlan, who's designed all the head of the design team, creative supervisor, says, "This to me is to me absolutely Star Wars. This was a character that JJ had an idea for that he wanted to reveal in Jakku, and we'd run out of money. And he turned around to me and said, and I said, I think we can make that design. He said, how much is it going to cost? I said, we'll do it for 100 quid. And Ivan, who was the person who designed it, turned around and said, you know what? I'll do it for 50 quid.
50 quid for the head of a Night Watcher worm.
So they put it together. Which is why then, you know, that's why you just see the head, among other reasons. Fascinating. Just trying to see when they determined, hey, it's this.
It's effective in the movie because you get the sense that there could be something more lurking under there, right?
You do, yeah, and it is truly Star Wars, and it's so early in Force Awakens that, you're like, oh, this is Star Wars. We got weird characters. Yep. We're in the desert, and we got weird characters and a droid.
Weird space aliens. Yeah, so great, so great. And then I like those episodes of Forces of Destiny, and it fleshes out Rey's understanding.
Yeah.
We get to see all of the stuff that she has had to struggle with and survive on Jakku.
A little empathy and compassion, too.
So do you like the Night Watcher worm?
I do. I do. I like, for all the reasons just stated, I was amused when it was revealed to be something bigger. That's why I was a little obsessed right now with when to decide to do that.
Yeah.
But it's very Star Wars. Sarlacc pit. I'm both disgusted and mesmerized by the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah.
Once, you see what it is. So, yeah, I think in the end I like it. It's very Star Wars to me.
Yeah.
And I loved it popping up on Jakku.
There's always something more under the sand. Right. I like the Night Watcher worm as well. So, with that, we are ready to fight. Now, we always decide when the fight is, and also kind of where. So, the final destruction of the Night Sister spirits is closer to the Battle of Yavin. Right. But we could go way, way back to the prequel era before they are decimated by Dooku and the Separatists.
I like this because it's a Night Sister, so I think we have a new Night Sister who maybe foraged on her own, left Dathomir.
Yeah.
Whether it was a dispute or Mother Talzin sent her out, but I think she went out and found herself in the sinking fields and goes on Badlands of Jakku.
Interesting.
She would run into this character.
Yeah, so one of these characters has to come to the other, so you would rather a Night Sister go to Jakku than a Night Watcher worm go to Dathomir.
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with that. That was your natural instinct to see somebody out of their element. To challenge the Night Sister to go out of her element. I'm just clicking on an image of the Night Sister. Mm-hmm. While I do that, let's talk about names. We need to give a name to our Night Sister. You read a good list Sister's names that are all, they seem like they have one word names. And they're a little bit more... I don't know how to describe it. Not as on the nose as Savage or Press or Brother Viscous.
Almost similar to the like Padme's handmaidens, like a kind of a vibe to them. I think it could be you're trying to find what's witchy enough, what's evil enough.
Well, we're going to be able to do better than the He-Man villain Evil Lyn, I think. Yeah. I think we can do that.
I liked Evil Lyn.
I did too.
Yeah. she was like He-Man's Baroness. So I don't know. I'm trying to blank.
Okay.
I'm stuck looking at these names.
How about Vicha?
Vicha. I like this.
All right. That's maybe as dumb as Evil Lyn. Vicha. Vitcha, the Night Sister.
I like that.
Pulling up these images of Night Sisters, they're often, they're always dressed in red in variations of sort of robes and this distinctive kind of pointed hood. Some of them have more shoulder.
A lot of them.
Pointy shoulder aesthetics.
Masks, lots of right?
Yeah.
Like,
not a lot of masks.
Really? I thought
hoods. I hoods.
Some with the masks.
One has, like, yeah, the sort of assassin.
Like a
rap,
like the rap. There you go. Like they're fighting for Cobra in against G.I. Joe.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah, absolutely. Like yeah, total like assassin look. Right. Okay. The either assassin or there's some pollutants in the air.
This yes, yeah. There you go. Yes,
the medical mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a lot of them have different hair. They're all white skin. They're all lithe and healthy and powerful. They got different weapons. I'm seeing blades. I'm seeing some kind of a energy bow.
Energy bow, yeah.
I'm seeing some chains.
Definitely.
Ceremonial daggers, all kinds of stuff. So we could discover as we go what Vitcha is armed with. Mm-hmm. But what do you think she's wearing?
I think she's got the red is the dominant color. I think she's got the hood cowl combination with the little like Mother Talzin inspired things that kind of float. But I think she's got on, I think she's a witch of action, and she's got on some like battle like cargo pants.
Oh, okay.
And
some red.
She wanted to buck against the trend to have leg wraps and like a bathing suit. She was like, it's not practical. A lot of action going on. I got me some red cargo pants.
She's got red cargo pants.
Yeah.
And like kind of a roby red top.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, nice. Yeah. I like that. Now, I think the big question is, she is on Jakku.
Yeah.
Why? Why did she leave Dathomir? I got a rough idea. Yeah. She is. She was a powerful Night Sister.
Yeah,
and maybe this is happening years ago, but years before even the Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. And she has helped on Earth the dark magic of Dathomir, and feels very powerful there. But disagrees with the idea that the Night Sisters simply belong on Dathomir, and maybe she is searching out a place where she could have a connection.
Yeah,
is. To the dark side as strong as Dathomir and believes that it has to be out there. And like she,
it's a little bit of just the desire not to conquer, well, a little bit maybe, but just like, why are we sticking around these parts?
Right. A sense of frontier.
Yeah.
She stood on Dathomir up in one of those creepy trees with the cocooned remnants of dead Night Sisters.
Right.
And she stared at the moons. Dreaming of a different horizon.
It's like Broom Kid, but different intention.
But spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that she got herself on a random ship that had the bad choice of landing on Dathomir. And maybe she took it. Maybe she stole it by force. Maybe there was a little bit of death.
Yeah.
And she launched herself in the galaxy, and something in the dark side called to her on Jakku.
I think, what's the timeline again? We got Tasu Leech out there? Not Tasu Leech. Not Tasu Leech. Loop. The Imperial Dignitary from Aftermath.
Loop Tashu?
Yeah, it might be. Yeah,
Loop. Yupei Tashau?
Oh, boy, Star Wars names.
But I think Loop Tashu is correct. Anyway.
Yes, Yup Tashu.
Yup, not Loop. Yup.
Yup Tashu.
Yup Tashu.
Whether or not he's in his office at that time.
Yeah, but that area where the observatory and the Sith artifacts eventually get, that there's something sort of pulsing.
Darkness is there.
There's darkness there, right? So she, Vitcha, lands her battered freighter.
Right.
She's tired. She's hungry. Mm-hmm. She's maybe even a little bit of doubting. These are her first steps towards darkness.
Yes.
But she goes out to the sand, I think.
Yeah.
It feels so different. It's so...
Oh, yeah.
She's used to hot, humid, but this is... Oh, it's
dry heat.
Dry heat. Mm-hmm. The sand. Whatever you want to say about Anakin, his analysis of sand is factually correct.
Yeah.
It is coarse and rough, and it does get everywhere. Mm-hmm. And she is experiencing that. She's so happy for her space cargo pants choice.
Might be regretting it a little bit, actually. It's so hot, but I think she's got a lot of pockets with uses.
And I think that she goes to the sand, where she feels the ebb of this darkness calling her. She uses the irritation, the anger. She's reaching her hands down, and she is summoning whatever is beneath her feet to rise, and it rumbles. The sand rumbles, and she thinks to herself, Vitcha thinks, yes, yes, I am accessing the power, the core, the very evil of this planet. And then she hears the strange cry of the Night Watcher worm as it rises up from the sand. She is standing on its hard shell back. What does the Night Watcher worm sound like as it cries out? Like a cat that has not been fed in 3 days. Oh, that was great. Night Watcher worm wails like an angry, hungry kitty cat.
Mm-hmm.
And Vitcha has this disappointing realization that I was not making the Earth move.
Oh, no.
This thing was.
Yeah.
What happens next, Ken?
It fully just emerges from the sand like a submarine with Sean Connery on it from the water, and it starts moving. Like it starts moving, and she's essentially against her will riding it.
Yeah.
But it's bucking. It starts to like buck because it knows it has an interloper and it's miss.
Yeah.
And she's trying to hold on. It's basically surf the worm.
Yeah, yeah. And she's doing a pretty good job. She is quite skilled. She reaches down and she digs her fingers and her nails into the actual hard back. Not easy to do. And then she realizes that this worm, this mewling monster, is heading straight forward her ship. She sees this giant maw open up.
Mm-hmm.
It's beneath her, but she can still see it. She can smell it. She can see the blue tongue ribbons lashing out. And it just chomps on her ship, right?
Oh, I like that.
Because it wants to eat machinery.
Yeah.
Right? So it crunching. Is scavenging away. Her ship is disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
What does Vitcha say to herself?
I've made a huge mistake. And she grabs a little vibroblade dagger.
From one of the many pants pockets.
Yes, and now she's definitely happy she has these cargo pants. And then she starts trying to hack through the shell. Things she has immediate access to.
Yeah.
Yes, she knows that little neck with the little eyes might be the target, but she can't get there safely because there's a giant mouth on the thing.
Right, right. And it is flailing, it is flailing.
She falls in, she's a goner.
Right, so I think she is shink, shink, shink. She is hacking at right. the back. The Night Watcher worm realizes this
yeah.
and says, and basically flips its whole mass,
mm-hmm.
slams her into the side of her own ship. She mm-hmm. comes flying off. Woomph. She lands in the sand. Now the Night Watcher worm whirls, and it looks at her, those beady red eyes, that big mouth, mm-hmm. roars. Night Watcher worm spittle rains down upon poor Night yeah. Sister Vitcha,
mm-hmm.
and this thing is coming for her, even though it just took a bite out of the ship. Is it going to take a bite out of her?
It wants to, and the blue tentacle tongues come out and kind of, one of them comes out so fast and it extends and it like knocks the vibro blade.
Oh no.
Goes flying. She's got others, but she's like, oh no, what do I do? And it takes a mouth open wide. It's kind of a slow creature.
Yeah.
It takes a big, and like clamps down.
Clamps down.
And she dives out of the way.
She rolls out of the way. Yeah. And she stands up.
Yes.
And realizes that her warrior instincts kicked in. Mm-hmm. She looks down and she stands up
yeah.
and realizes, I'm holding something.
Yeah.
And she realizes that she has lashed out and grabbed one of the blue tongues.
Nice.
She is holding the tongue of the Night Watcher worm. She pulls with all of her might.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the Night Watcher worm actually does slide through the sand. and she uses her other hand. She pulls up just a sharpened nail and pokes the Night Watcher worm in the eye.
Thump. Left eye. Boom.
Does she puncture the glowing red eye of the Night Watcher worm?
No, because that freaks me out. But it definitely hurts. And, you know, now it's it scratches the cornea.
She scratches the cornea.
It's the most I can take before I start to barf. And then the eye starts swelling. And close shut like a boxer, like Rocky Balboa in the third round.
We promised you a spooky horror episode. And does it get any scarier than just scratching the cornea?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, it doesn't. So she scratches the cornea of the Night Watcher worm. And I think the Night Watcher worm reels back. But I think then that's when she also lets go of the tongue. And the Night Watcher worm shows her just how powerful those tongues are.
Yeah.
So they lash out. One lassos around her leg before she can spin away, as the Night Sisters are very good at doing.
Yeah.
Another lashes around the arm. And another gets her mask and pulls it down.
Okay.
But she's being... Now her face is exposed. The sand is getting in her throat and her mouth. Mm-hmm. She's being dragged toward the gaping maw of the Night Watcher worm. Do you have an idea of what happens next?
Magic.
Yes.
Magic happens next. As it pulls her so close, it like whips it almost like if you got like a noodle that you're like sucking in during your pasta. It's coming in. So there's a little bit of air, like she's been lifted up. And as she approaches the mouth, she's angled up towards the little eyes. She does what's called the Night Sister spit. And she does that. And all this like what looks like fairy dust, but it's evil dust. Mm. All right. Goes poofing out. It's a little spell they all know. It's a self-dispense spit, like a llama at a zoo.
Poofs evil out magic dust.
And it goes straight into the face, the eyes of Night Worm.
Oh, the Night Watcher Worm's eyes are not having a good day. First, the cornea got scratched.
It's the target area.
Now, what does this dust do? Because I think that she would have had to take this magic with her from Dathomir, right? So she may be...
it's a little potion.
Yeah, a potion that's something, a sort of self-defense mechanism that she had already taken whatever potion or spell she needs for.
It's like a cyanide capsule.
Okay,
a lot of Night Sisters keep the potion in a capsule in their mouth.
So she could have breathed it in.
Yeah.
But she decides to breathe it out. And is it corrosive? Just the energy of the dark side? Is it?
It is a little dark side energy for sure, but it's a paralysis kind of spell.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what that is in Harry Potter. Stoppy Armus? I don't know.
It's been too long for my reading. But I know it gets used on Harry Potter when Dumbledore dies. Sorry, spoiler. Anyway, the Night Watcher's eyes are frozen open, which is true terror.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Love closing my eyes,
And the Night Watcher worm is the opposite of blinded. Mm-hmm. Totally eyes open, enraged, huge cat meow roar. He can hiss, too. It's amazing. Those tongues are good for more than grabbing.
A lot going on.
They're good for hissing. Vitra thinks she has a moment of triumph.
Yeah.
But she had no idea the strength of the undulating bottom of the Night Watcher worm. And she realizes, to move up and down through the sand, to bore through this mountain of sand, I should have realized the Night Watcher worm actually launches itself in the air. And a shadow looms over Vitra.
Right.
She is about to be crushed.
I like it.
And I think this is maybe a good point to pause our combat, as we often do, and decide who we want to win. We are going to think for just a moment, and we shall be right back.
Thank you. One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we are back. Now, we've had good time to think about it. Questions before us, who would really win in this kind of fight? Morally, in this fight, who do we think has earned the right? Who are you feeling for Victor?
I don't even think Vitcha like went out of her way to pick a fight. She tried the dark magic. She thought she'd move in the ground. Wrong place, wrong time. The ship's there. So I don't put any blame on her.
No.
On the Night Sister. And then the Night Watcher worm just doing its thing.
Just wants to eat.
Just hungry. Sees a nice crunchy spaceship. Can't fault him for that. So I don't. This is one of the rare times in Data Bank Brawl, at least in recent memory, where I just don't have a clear moral victor.
Yeah.
I do think, though, the Vitch has got enough resources in her pockets to pull this victory out.
I agree with you. And I think this is one of those rare times where I don't think that I have a person I'm rooting for morally. I kind of have a person I'm rooting for immorally because it's Halloween.
Yes.
I kind of like the idea of Vitcha fully embracing the dark side.
The dark side.
Yeah.
Spooky holiday. It's
sad, sad for the Night Watcher worm that just wanted to eat a whole ship. That's a buffet.
If you ever watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, this is what happens.
This is. Yeah. Sometimes the lion's going to get the gazelle.
Sometimes
you know, kids. That's just how it goes. It's the balance.
horrifying. My dad watched those every weekend.
So many episodes where the lion scratches the gazelle's cornea. Just it happens so all the time. Happens all the time. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I think we are on the same page that, yeah. that Vitcha is going to win. The question of how is real fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Night Watcher worm, even enraged and wounded, is mm-hmm. dangerous. It is coming down upon her. I think Vitcha is very acrobatic, right?
Yeah.
But it's not used to the sands. So mm-hmm. I think she does a quick roll, but it kind of undoes some of her robes
okay.
That she's wearing on the upper half of her body. So the Night Watcher worm slams down,
right.
hits some of the robes.
Mm-hmm.
Vitcha's escaped, but she's being choked.
Stuck underneath
yeah.
it? Okay. I like that.
And I think she reaches up with her sharp nails and
okay.
cuts her own rope. Nice. Tries to roll to her feet. The Night Watcher worm is coming for her. She reaches into her pocket.
Okay.
She pulls out
yeah.
in one hand another knife. In the other hand, a vial. Now, she prepared Ooh. Many spells.
Right.
And out of various fluids and rituals right. before she left. She just blindly grabbed the first thing. She okay. doesn't even remember what it was for.
Mm-hmm.
But she pops the cork.
Yeah.
Strange ooze and smoke whiffs out. Anybody nearby would suddenly feel cold. It's a purple bubbling fluid. Yeah. And she opens her mouth wide, much like the Night Watcher worm itself, and uh-huh. just throws it in. She feels a burning sensation. And as the effects take hold, she realizes what she's taken.
Hmm.
Which potion did she just throw into her body?
She has taken an electrical charge potion, which turns your essence, your being, your inner energies. It grabs them and puts them all around you. It creates a defensive aura that can be used. It can be weaponized. It can just be used for self-defense. It's almost as if now her entire body is surrounded by a glowing purple haze.
Oh, it's like a crackling, smoking, yeah. wispy haze. Like, yeah,
yeah,
I love the visual that it is actually like wispy, but it sounds right. like lightning, like electricity. Right.
Like, yeah.
And she is alive with this. And in fact, that blade she just pulled out gets absorbed by this and shatters through the power.
Mm-hmm.
She senses that she feels powerful, right?
Yeah.
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 So I think she launches herself at the Night Watcher worm.
Yes.
And do you have a vision of what happens next?
I do.
Sure.
The Night Watcher worm kind of turns maybe head on, because I envisioned her kind of off to the side. She rolls off to the side. He kind of like, Rah! And opens his mouth, and she boom, boom, goes into the mouth. She's classic just, going into the belly of the beast trick.
Yeah, she just rolls into a tight ball of crackling purple mist energy and flings herself acrobatically just into the belly of the beast.
Like a breakfast cereal from the 80s. Just a purple ball of bad juju going into your mouth. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
The Night Watcher worm is smashing into a Go-Gurt and not in a good way. What does she see or feel in the darkness?
Well, she feels part of her spaceship. She feels a lot of icky stuff.
Moisture and slime. And
yeah.
I think she's maybe feels different bits of electronic equipment making contact with her and kind of bursting.
Yeah, it's like a bubbling. There's a storm coming, Annie, and it's inside this creature.
Yeah, and I think from her perspective, we just see darkness. And then I think we cut a little ways away from this battle.
Right.
And a Tito, because there are many Titos.
Many Titos.
Is on a Lugabeast. The Tito doesn't like coming around this area because this area is extra creepy and you feel cold when you go there.
Yeah.
But the Tito's going along in the Lugabeast, boom, boom, sees a ship. Ooh! But then sees a Night Watcher worm fully exposed above the sand, which you don't see that often.
You don't see it often.
And the Tito's like, and the Night Watcher worm is shaking, doing some sort of dark, profane dance of pain. And then I think the Tito watches in shock.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Night Watcher worm just explodes,
explodes.
Right? That shell on its back shatters.
Spaceships. A speeder at 8 last week. Just all over the place.
Just huge, disgusting.
A tire for some reason.
Yeah. Something whistles past Tito's head. It's like, is that a lightsaber hilt?
Yeah.
Unimaginable.
What's going on?
Bounty covered in viscous, horrible fluids.
Yeah.
And then when Tito can look back up, he sees a woman glowing purple, energy crackling all around her in a crater of just viscera.
Good old fashioned viscera.
Good old Halloween viscera.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smoking, bubbling, disgusting ruin of the Night Watcher worm.
Yeah.
And in it, this glowing figure.
Yeah.
Does the Night Sister, does
Vitcha
see the Tito?
She does. She's going to need a ride back to a spaceport. She sees this as the nearest form of conveyance.
Yeah.
So she does see it. I think she's, because she's in a heightened state following this big victory, her survival, she's not concerned about destroying this creature.
No.
Luckily for the Tito. I think she just knows, I need a hitch ride.
Yeah. So I think she feels her power.
Yeah.
She feels that somehow a little bit more in tune with this strange planet and its shifting sand.
Yeah.
And I think instead of trying to fight the sand, she figures out how to run in a way that the sand will support her. She's poof, bounding off of dune, flying towards this Tito.
Sideways, yeah.
Yeah, and I think she does a big leap and a twirl, and she lands on top of the Lugabeast. Mm-hmm. And I think that Tito's like, ah. And I think with the last bit of the purple energy, she says, this is Vitch's ride now. And she wipes her hand, the purple energy flies from it, enwraps Tito, and Tito goes flying into the distance.
Like a soccer ball kicked.
And Vitcha rides off into the night.
Very slowly and steadily.
A very slow ride into the night.
But she gets to Nima Outpost and hitches a ride out.
Yeah. Now, that is the main end of our adventure, but do you have any bonus scenes, any cut scenes at the end of the trailer or at the end of the credits?
I think we float up to the stars and head on out. Some music. I'm thinking at the end of the Attack of the Clones music. That and we land in Dathomir City. What's the capital? Dathomir Village. New Dathomir. And suddenly, Mother Talzin eyes, her eyes, boom, wake up. She says, Vitcha's gone. We must go get our sister back. And fade out as the Night Sisters go find or attempt to find their prodigal sister.
Oh, wow. It is a Night Sister adventure out into the stars. And I think as Vitcha successfully flies away from Jakku, having experimented and considered what might else be out there. Just as she's flying away from Jakku, she looks down and she sees the spot where she had landed. And she senses something evil and dark pulsing underneath, calling out. And Vitcha is comforted because there's a little bit of darkness everywhere, which means there's a little bit of home everywhere.
You can always go home when it's dark.
Disgusting, fluid-filled, but not as much as some episodes. And spooky episode. Look, that has everything Halloween wanted.
We got some viscera, man.
Viscera, scratched cornea. What else could you want?
Yeah.
Good, good episode. Ken, where can people find you?
You can find me at Ken Knapsack and KenKnapsack.com. Including information on live comedy shows coming up soon.
Excellent. We are always happy to hear suggestions. If there are characters that you want to see fight here on Databank Brawl, just let us know with the hashtag Databank Brawl. We're looking at the dawn of a brand new age with Mandalorian and Rise of Skywalker coming. Even some great characters from the Jedi Fallen Order video game coming. We're going to wait to play that video game before we use some of those characters. But man, there are some good ones, some exciting ones. We always like to thank Tony Thaxton for our theme music as well. And we like to mention our Patreon. You can support us at patreon.com/forcecenter. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and check out my albums, podcasts, and shows on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. You can like Force Center on Facebook and follow us on Twitter is at ForceCenterPod. And until next time, as Luke Skywalker once said, well, no one was really listening to him. I care. That's it for a Halloween edition of Databank Brawl.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.